There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And we'll get into the other ways coming up in just a little bit because I want to get right to it on today's show and head, I'm guessing we're heading to Montgomery, the worldwide headquarters for Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, and check in with Todd Stacey as we get started. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. I made a list here, as I often do, and we'll go down. This is, I guess, according to what's going on in Montgomery, this is the triage list. So we'll start off with the story you have up at Alabama Daily News. The Democrats delay votes on the Gulf of America, Ten Commandment bills. GOP leaders say they'll be back. So, by the way, I ask you each week, have we gotten the budget done?
It's through the first chamber. Both budgets are through the first chamber. They're going to be taken up in the second chamber next week.
Okay, so first chamber, but not to the second chamber. Okay, so just letting me know. Okay, now, but we're going to spend time talking about the...
We're halfway there.
But we're working on the Gulf of America bill.
Well...
Imagine my cynicism.
Well, it's interesting because, it was supposed to be a pretty... cut and dry. It was sold to us in the media as kind of a cloture day, what they call a cloture day.
Explain that. What's that?
Well, so cloture is the procedural vote to shut down debate. So, Republicans have a supermajority, and in the Senate, you can just filibuster all day long until the majority calls for cloture, to cut off debate. Say, let's go. Let's stop the filibuster. Say, kind of like the U.S. Senate. You hear a lot about the 60-vote threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Republicans normally have the votes, and they were going to do that on both of those bills, on the Gulf of America bill and on this bill that would require the Ten Commandments to be posted in classrooms. Because, as bills go, those are red meat, right? Those are things the Republicans want, but Democrats absolutely oppose. So they knew the Democrats were going to filibuster. They did. But somehow the votes weren't there to cloture. I was told that a few senators had to be out of Montgomery for engagements. That happens. And so they didn't have the ability to shut down debate. So instead of since the Democrats were not going to let up, they essentially just burned a day. They pretty much wasted a day. Now, those bills can come back up at any time. So they're kind of through a procedural hurdle, but that was kind of a wasted day, and when days are so few now at the end of the session, that was not a great move.
Well, it's a waste on it, and it's listen, I'll go round and round with folks. I just don't think this is what you get to do. I mean, my analogy's been, remember in school when you got all your work done, then you could have like watch a movie or have a pizza party or something. Like these bills to me are pizza party bills, and I know the reason why. I'm not naive, but I will keep complaining that, let's not waste time on... If we can't get to this, you get to this later. The state does not change. It's already federally changed to the Gulf of America. Why the state has to spend time ensconcing this, I don't know, and cost the state money, because when the follow-on bill said you would have to, make reasonable efforts to update old materials to reflect the new name, well, what does that cost?
Yeah, I don't know, and I haven't seen the fiscal note on the bill, but yeah, it costs money. I guess the argument for it is that since this has happened on the federal side, we need to align all of our laws and materials and things like that. I mean, I'm sure that some of that is true. I'm sure that some of that is legit. But, you know, if there's a Democratic president the next time around, they're just going to change it back.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I really don't see this lasting.
What do you think? Do we end up in the Ninth Circuit that it comes in, they change it back, and Alabama keeps it as Gulf of America, and we get sued by DOJ to change the name back, and then we're in court for the Ninth Circuit.
It's one of those things that,
come on.
I wouldn't mind just kind of pushing pause and seeing what actually happens long term. But, I mean, you know what it is. It's you know, political, like I said, red meat. Hey, we did it too. We changed the name of the Gulf to Gulf of America. Look, you know,
yeah.
It's an election year and all that. Now I'll say this: it's not like the budgets were ready to go. You had the House pass the Education Trust Fund, and so it's in the Senate now. Well, they take their time on that, and they should. All, you know, it's up to the Senate to consider. So it's not like they did these bills instead of doing the budgets. The budgets aren't ready. I think they will be after spring break. But you could argue that there are other priorities, whether it's Lake and Riley or you know, immigration things, that could have taken priority. But again, maybe they knew the votes weren't going to be there in the Senate for cloture, and so maybe it was necessary to kind of sacrifice these bills, knowing that they're not that important, for knowing that, hey, this is not going to be our day to shut down the Democrats. I'm not saying that I know that. It's just it's plausible.
Okay, let's move to this way. There's so many, and we'll tell you how to get these emails I talk about all the time that get my attention. The legislature, I call it, let's go, House Bill 545. I call it Roundup for Alabama, y'all. legislature considering a bill to specify rounding for cash transactions. What's going on here, Todd?
Well, this really is the cascading effect of how we're getting rid of the penny. That's long been discussed because the penny's value has just been diluted down to where it's practically nothing. And so they're going to start eliminating the penny and removing them from circulation. So we need to plan ahead for that and understand, okay, if we're not talking pennies, if everything's essentially got to be rounded to a nickel, well, how does that work? You know, when do we start rounding? You know, do you hit on 16 or 15? You know, so that's what it's all about. And I actually like, you know, ideas like this or just arguments like this. They're interesting to me because it's financial. It's not political at all. But it's something that we need to, you know, figure out because, you know, pennies add up after a time, right? Those rounding errors.
I got jugs full to prove that true.
Yeah.
Big water
jugs. Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe you might need to get those taken care of if they're going to eliminate the penny. I don't know. Something to pass on, maybe.
So, and would it be? I hadn't even really, until I read y'all's story, I hadn't even thought about it. Would it be different? So, this would be the rules for Alabama. Would it be different in different states? Would there be a? You know,
it would just be a standard. It would not require businesses to do anything, but it would set a statewide standard to say, okay, totals ending in 1, 2, 6, and 7 would round to the nearest nickel. I mean, I think that kind of makes sense. Everything else is pretty obvious. So I think that, you know, so if you're a business and you know, start doing this rounding because it just makes sense to you, especially
sense.
You
know, I get that joke.
If folks are paying in cash, then you know it's a lot harder for somebody to sue you or get upset with you if hey, you know.
No, it's going to be one of my relatives that sues on this too. By the way,
yeah. Where's my 2 cents?
Yep.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Another double entendre there, but. So, yeah, I think it's just providing a framework and a standard for the state that when we enter this new era of no pennies, businesses need this guidance, and it helps that the state at least puts that guidance forward and sets that standard.
Okay. So now there's my list. I went pennies, and I went Gulf of America, and leaving, you know, on my list here at the end, one that may have some discussion, and I have a guest coming up to talk about this in just a little bit. But the House passes the bill to close Alabama's primary elections. It was not without debate.
Well, that's what was fascinating, and primarily among them was Representative Chris Pringle, the pro tem of the House, right there in your backyard.
Yeah, he'll be on here in about 10 minutes. Yep.
Well, good. Buckle up, because I hope he's as animated as on the radio as he was on the House floor. Because now, look, he ended up voting for the bill, especially after an amendment got added onto it that I guess gave him what he needed. But I mean, he was making some really great points about how maybe this sounds good, like, hey, only Republicans should vote in Republican primaries, and hey, only Democrats should vote in Democratic primaries. That's kind of the basic idea, but it could lead to some really unintended consequences, including what he was saying is some of the members in that body at that time might not be there next time around, or mm-hmm. I guess this wouldn't apply till after the next election, but because there are just a ton of independent voters, there are a ton of very conservative voters who still don't consider themselves Republicans and don't want to sign up to register mm-hmm. as a Republican. There are people that are more conservative than your run-of-the-mill Republican that don't necessarily want that designation. But of course, there are also plenty just in the middle, and plenty that, again, don't want to sign up for a party and don't feel like they should have to. And are you keeping those people out of the political process? And in doing so, are you really just leading to truly fringe candidates? I mean, the example Pringle brought up on the House floor was Roy Moore. You know, if we go down this road, are we just ensuring a bunch of Roy Moore type nominees in the future? And how does that help the Republican Party?
Yeah, great questions. Todd, people want to get that email. How do they sign up?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up right there on the homepage, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Capital Journal?
No nightly shows this week.
Spring
They're on spring break.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the air Friday and Sunday like normal, but we'll be back next week.
All right, good stuff, Todd. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back for Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:21, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and a lot of vehicles on the lot. And we mentioned this last week, a lot of options for financing as well. Explain that to the folks.
Well, Sean, most people don't understand that you can go to a buy here, pay here, or you can go to a bank or wherever you want to go, credit union, whatever. We've got everything here on site. One of our biggest deals is people trying to reestablish their credit. They're wanting to go to buy here, pay here, and whatnot, and we can do all that for you. But if it's possible to put you with a lender that's going to report to the credit bureaus, that's the only way you're ever going to get your credit back and get it back in good standing and be able to, buy a house if you don't already have one or whatnot. So we try to guide people through that process as well. It's not just buying a car. It's trying to better their lives, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, well, and the fun is, at the same time, you get to check out that inventory of vehicles. So talk about that. They want to see them in person, talk finance with you. How do they find you? And talk about that website, too.
Yeah, we got a fantastic inventory. Everything should have pictures online now at lcmmotorcars.com. You can come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. It's at the third red light on the left. Or you can just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And let's check in with you as well. Reminder, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for call or text. And in addition, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, which you ought to, it's free, waiting for you out there. If you're Android user on Google Play, if you're iOS user, the App Store, either place, look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5, just FM Talk 106.5. Put that in, you'll see our logo. That's it. Download the app. Does all kind of cool stuff, but one of them, the microphone icon on the front page, lets you record a message and email it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air, so check that out as well. All right, let's go to the text line at this point here. B-Dark says they can pass a Gulf of America bill but can't pass a budget bill. What's wrong with that? It is, and Todd said, I mean, there's reasons here, B-Dark. I do pick a little bit. I know the reasons, but it's the priority to me should be, I don't, maybe it's just simplistic, and we'll have somebody who's spent a lot of time on Goat Hill joining us here in a second. He may be able to correct me, but I would like to see a situation where we did the budget bills, those things first, and then all the other, then the all the other bills would come in afterwards. You did those, and then you get to do the extra stuff. All right, Michael said the Republicans on Goat Hill truly appreciate Democrats filibustering. They don't want to do truly conservative policies. All they ever intend to pass are dumb social crap that plays well with the useful idiots that continue voting for people like Meemaw. And we'll put you down as undecided, Michael. Lawrence in Mobile says every country that has eliminated the penny rounds to the nearest five. Yeah, so, and I'm talking about, Todd talking about what we would do in Alabama. I think it's HB 454. With the rounding, it's fine. Wouldn't it just be standardized across the country though? Right, it would worry me that if we have some place says in Alabama totals ending in 1, 2, 6, and 7 would round down to the nearest nickel. Totals ending in 3, 4, 8, and 9 would round up. It's like too much math here, and Lawrence is saying just round to the nearest five. So up and down. So this is splitting it more narrowly, I guess, for Alabama. But I guess if you've got to have rules around this, right? If people don't have the pennies to do this, which I don't. I mean, you still can use the penny. We're just not making the penny. And I have a feeling people like me that have been sitting on, get that big copper, man, big copper. You got those pennies from way back. We could flood the market and keep it going, but I guess there has to be rules. I just would think you'd want those standardized nationally, so it's not one thing in Georgia and one thing in Alabama and one thing in Mississippi, something to that effect. Let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan says, Judge Moore is twice the man Stacey will ever be. And Jerry, by the way, on record not being a big Todd Stacey fan. John says, I think Todd is completely wrong about closed primaries, excluding participation. For example, he gave, it was the Roy Moore debacle. In my opinion, Moore was elected by Democrats crossing the party lines to select that complete nut job, thus giving them a very beatable candidate to run against. John, people have said the same, right? Chris and Daphne, Sean, with no more pennies, does that mean we also got to also have no more penny tax? Everything's got to be in increments of five for a nickel. Oh, they'll still be able to do it digitally. And they're not. The pennies are still, unless I'm misunderstanding this, the pennies are still legal tender of our fair republic. But they're just not making any more. But you got to figure the number. How many of y'all out there, we'll do it this way, don't have some jar or something at your house that has a bunch of pennies in it? If you don't, I'm going to make it easier. The people who don't, you don't have any cash of pennies anywhere, let me know. Because maybe, I just think there's enough pennies to stay in the mix here. Of course, they won't be able to give them the change, right? That's going to be the issue, getting them back in change. King of Owen named Texters is kind of seconding what I think it was Lawrence of Mobile had said, because King of All Unnamed Texters said, seems easier to end all pricing that doesn't end in zero or five. Yeah, well, it's going to mess up the $1.99 stuff, right? Or whatever 99. Let's see. Be dark, Sean, if I didn't keep my budget right, I wouldn't eat. If I was living off taxpayer money, I wouldn't care. But what if you had to use pennies, Be dark? What if you had to use pennies? That's always the question. I see a lot of text here. A lot of people will maybe have penny chat coming forward in a show sometime soon. But I wonder, I mean, not that you're going to haul a bunch of pennies around with you, But if they still need them for, I just don't know how long does this take. The Mint doesn't make any more pennies, which I agree with. I mean, it was fiscally illiterate to keep making pennies that cost more than the actual penny to make. But aren't there enough in circulation out there that are going to last a long, long time? When do we run through all the pennies out there in the stash? All right, 251-343-0106. Coming back here in just a few minutes. After the news, Speaker Pro Tem of the House, it is Chris Pringle, District 101 representative. And you've heard the discussion. We talked about some last week. You heard the people on with Jeff today, and Todd Stacey mentioning it as well. The question about closed primaries and a history lesson that was laid out on the House floor by Speaker Pro Tem Pringle. We'll talk about that with him coming up next.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Heard this man's name already on the station many times this morning. We talked about him last week. He's District 101 representative and Speaker Pro Tem of the Alabama House. Chris Pringle, good to see you.
Good to see you. And as always, hello, Mom, and hello to my beautiful wife, Laura.
That's right. Say the ladies are most important. You lead off that way. Chris's mom has always been a dedicated listener.
Yes.
We appreciate that. All right. The question is, to close or not to close, or Shakespeare said something like that. Primaries, let's talk about this, the vote and all that, but what is, explain in regular people language, you're good, you know, you do a good job of that for me, even though you're a smart dude. What is this? Closed primary, what does it look like for somebody who's going to vote?
What will happen if this law, this bill becomes law? When you go to the polls in 2028 and you vote in the Republican primary or the Democratic primary, then you are registered in those two parties. You can't go back the next election and vote in the Democratic primary unless you, 60 days before the election, you actively go down and change your voter registration. It locks you into either Republican or Democrat.
So you could go, you'd say you come back, you had voted the last time for whatever, Democrat, and you go to vote, and the Democrat candidate is absolutely distasteful to you, you can't go vote for the Republican.
You have to change your voter registration 60 days before the election to go vote in the Republican primary.
What if something happens 30 days out from the election?
That's, you're getting to the root of it. Because you get into these small counties, there are certain counties, they don't have much of a choice. They have to vote in the Democratic primary because they want the best school board member. Mm-hmm. They want the best sheriff. Mm-hmm. So they vote in the local elections in the Democratic primary. Mm-hmm. In the general election, they come back and vote for us. And then the elections like this year, when you have the governor and the legislature and everybody else, they come vote generally in the Republican primary. But if they voted in the Democratic primary because of their local issues. Mm-hmm. Then they'd have to 60 days before the election, they have to proactively go down and change their registration so they can come back. So you're putting people in some of these counties constantly having to change their voter registration back and forth. And I think it's going to, if you walk into that poll in 2030 and that polling official looks at you and says, you can't vote. Sorry. You're an independent. You can't vote. You know what kind of anger you're going to see? And this is what, I mean, just take the anger we got over the bill to change the state school board to appointed rather than elected. Look at the anger we received over the bill to change the Public Service Commission from elected to appointed. You start changing people's ability to vote, and they get very angry in the state of Alabama. They want to be able to go vote the way they want to vote, when they want to vote.
Now, people will say, well, but, you know, the primaries are just intra-party. They're part of the club. You got to be in the Democrat club or the Republican club, which I tell you right now, there's a lot of Alabamians that say maybe conservative or this and that, but they don't say I'm a Republican or they don't say I'm a Democrat.
Exactly. That's the reason the voter turnout is so much lower in the primary than it is in the general election. And that's the reason. And I'm afraid this would drive the turnout even lower. Because of all the information I received, all the court testimony, all the voter analysis from, I've got 30 years of voting data in a computer in Montgomery. And all the professionals that went through our voting history, the only time it showed up in official court documents of crossover voting, the Democrats voting in the Republican primary, they weren't voting for what they considered to be a weak Republican, a rhino. They voted for Roy Moore because they wanted Roy Moore to get the Republican nomination against Doug Jones because they thought they could beat him.
Strategically, a strategic vote.
That's the only instance in the court documents. I'm not saying it's not the only. I'm sure there's some scattered other instances because people get on the internet and brag about doing it, but it's not anything that's really shown up in any mass voting standards.
So the danger is that what would this bill protect from if by the people, and you were a yes vote even after you spoke on, but what does this protect from?
The theory is that all these Democrats are coming over and voting in the Republican primary to elect rhinos, give the rhinos a Republican nomination, and therefore, you know, we have a bunch of rhinos in the legislature. They're trying to, in my opinion, it's a solution looking for a problem. I think the voters are smart enough in the state of Alabama to listen to what the candidates say and decide who they want to be their Republican nominee and not have that person handpicked by a party.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, too, on this now famous discussion you had about that picking process. Give me – you talking about specifics, but I mean, does that really – so that really happens, that it's decided not by the voters but by the apparatchiks?
Yeah, they removed some people from the ballot just a couple weeks ago. The party said, you're not good enough to be a Republican, and we're taking you off our ballot. And it was – and if you go back and look at it, it was kind of arbitrary – as how they decided who was and who wasn't. There's no definitive goal line you cross and you're in or you're out. It's whatever on that committee. You know, the sponsor of this bill had his opponent removed.
Yeah, you talked about that specifically. That audio has been played here. How do you have him removed? What method said what?
He got somebody to take him off the ballot on that committee.
So he had a challenger. As challenger for the Republican primary, and that person gets removed from the ballot, so he doesn't have that challenger.
He's clear now. It's the same thing in 1983. The Democratic Party pulled Gerald Dahl and Lowell Barron and some others. They handpicked their candidates for the legislature. Said, you're not a good enough Democrat. We're going to handpick, you know, who we want. And they pulled them off their ballot.
So the people go in the primaries, they say, well, we've got a choice, but you only have a choice of the things you're offered on the ballot, only the names you get on the ballot.
I mean, that's the only choice you have in an election is the people willing to step up and run.
But now you're saying, though, there's an additional speed bump. Somebody steps up and runs, but that doesn't guarantee that they're going to get on the ballot.
Exactly. They've been taking people off the ballots. And nobody can give us a definitive what the rules are. They apply one rule at one time and another rule. And I'm staying out of it. This is what the party wants. I'm just concerned that if we close the primary and tell all these independent-minded Alabamians, which are a lot of them, they're not welcome in our primary, they might not feel like they're welcome to come back to the party in November.
Which is
what they did to the Democrats in 1986. They so enraged the voters in the state of Alabama, they went and elected a guy that nobody thought had a chance. And I want to address that in a minute.
Yeah, and I do as well, because you, and we'll get to it right now, because you use this as part of your discussion. You said Guy Hunt, and you gave the history of the man from Holly Pond becoming the governor. Tell us again, people who didn't hear that.
He was, like I said, I met him. I was working for Sonny Callahan. I was about to leave to go to North Carolina. The National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee was sending me to North Carolina to do a congressional campaign for a Republican because Sonny didn't have an opponent in 86. I met him. He walked out the door. He spoke to me, and I literally didn't understand what he said. So I walked in. I said, Congressman, who is that? And he told me who it was. After he wound up with the nomination, Remember, I was in North Carolina working. Mm-hmm. But I was good friends with Sage Lyons. And later, you know, I worked out of Sage Lyons' law office when I worked on Guy Hunt's campaign in 1990. And he told me the story that he and John Grenier and I think Robin Swift all were kind of very powerful men around Guy Hunt. They went to him and said, you're not what we need. We need somebody more polished to be our nominee. And he said, I'm not stepping down. So they took him to Georgia for 6 weeks.
So they did go to him and ask him to step down. Yes. So they put somebody else in.
Yes. Okay. Somebody that was more polished.
Okay.
So they took him to Georgia for 6 weeks. And this is what Sage Lyons told me. God rest his soul. Mm. They hired a speech pathologist to help him with his articulation of words. And they hired, what do you call it, somebody that helps you, etiquette coach. You know, he had never been to a state dinner. And, you know, when you sit at these state dinners, you have multiple knives, multiple forks, multiple mm-hmm. glasses. They sat down and taught him which fork to use for the salad. They were teaching him basic etiquette.
Okay.
They changed his haircut. They changed his clothes. They polished him for 6 weeks. They made him a different person, somebody that they could put on the campaign trail. And I think Guy Hunt was a good governor. What I was talking about was the backlash the voters had against the Democrats. They were willing to vote for this man who was, you know, a good man, but they had to polish him up for the voters. And he won overwhelmingly on that backlash vote.
If you're saying those votes were not for him so much as they were against the Democrats.
I think anybody on the ballot that day was going to win because the voters were so angry at the Democratic Party for what they've done.
And you see this now here in 2026 being what 1986 was for the Democrats, 2026 going forward for the Republicans.
I'm afraid that we're going down the same path the Democrats did when they started handpicking candidates and kicking people off their ballots and telling the voters that we're smarter than you. We get to decide, not you, who the nominees are. And I'm just afraid that independent voters in Alabama are going to retaliate against the Republicans.
And I
could be wrong. I mean, I'm just...
Right, but I think what's interesting here is what gets the attention, and I get it, I'm in media, is what you had to say about Guy Hunt. But it was really, and the people that have come on today to decry what you said about Guy Hunt aren't addressing, well, one did, but aren't addressing the issue of closed primaries. They're chasing a red herring, I think, to some degree on this, whether you could battle it out about Guy Hunt, but you're using your main point is don't have closed primaries, Republicans, right?
I think the closed primaries, both Republican and Democrat,
mm-hmm.
will make Alabama voters mad. I think changing an election like that in Alabama, I've seen it when we tried to do the school board and the PSC, people do not like being told that they can't vote for something they're used to voting for. And
yeah.
A closed primary fundamentally changes how they vote, because right now you can vote in the Republican primary, 1 year election, you can come back and vote in the Democratic primary. And a lot of these rural counties, people jump back and forth all the time because of the local politics. Then when they get into state and federal elections, they're solidly Republican.
Yeah, and folks here need to think about that, because a different story for Mobile and Baldwin counties. But if you spent time, you know, got many of my friends who live in the country and all that, they do, because there's not a chance they're going to be able to get something done on a Republican for their local elections. They're trying to find the best. Exactly. They only have so many choices here, and they're trying to make sure that they have a say in which Democrat gets elected in Lowndes County or something like that.
Or Monroe County.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, yeah.
Let me address Guy Hunt's conviction, because I listened to this on the radio. And what they did to Guy Hunt was wrong. Guy, under the Corrupt Practices Act, under the inauguration, in those days, there was no governing an inaugural committee. There were no campaign limits. There was no reporting limits. There was nothing.
Huh.
And Guy Hunt, under advice of counsel, created a 501c nonprofit. John Grenier got him to do it so his friends could get tax deductions donating to Guy Hunt's inauguration. And all Guy
Hunt— Because it wasn't his campaign fund, right. It was the inaugural fund. Yeah.
And Guy Hunt said, listen, I mortgaged my farm in Coleman County when I ran 8 years ago. I just want my money back. I just want to pay off this mortgage. Mm-hmm. But under the Corrupt Practices Act in those days, it wasn't the reporting we have now. And he had not fully disclosed, you know, he didn't have to, the loans he took out against his farm to pay for his campaign. So all he said was, John, you're my lawyer. I just want my money back. And after the election, after the inauguration, he got paid back. And then they just used what he used the money for against him.
I mean, he said, I remember this, this guy, like marble baths or something.
It was a bird bath. But he was repaying the loan to the bank, but he had extra money because he'd been paying on that loan for 8 or 10 years, whatever.
Right.
So he just, all guy ever wanted was his money back where he'd loaned his campaign money.
And so, but he got railroaded?
I think it was a bad conviction,
All right, coming back, more Speaker Pro Tem Chris Pringle right here on Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Guest with us right now, and a lot to say. Got to get him back on soon. Man, that for some reason in the past he's been on with us to talk about voting maps, and the man who chooses to do that, which I've always thought is questionable. It's like the most Byzantine system ever, redistricting in the state of Alabama. But now, talking about some other issues as well, it's Chris Pringle, District 101 Representative and Speaker Pro Tem of the state of Alabama. Let's talk about the outcome here. So the outcome going forward for closed primaries, like you said, you did vote for it. At the end, there was an amendment or something, you voted for it.
Yeah, we put an amendment on it, and I voted for it, because it goes to the Senate now. And I think there are two more amendments the Senate is looking at it putting on there.
Okay. So they're going to add, then do you think there'll be back in the House any problems with those two amendments?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, what people don't realize, the way that floor works is the whips had gone around, they knew the votes were there to pass it. And we needed to move on to some other bills. So we voted the bill out. We know the Senate's going to pick it up. We know the Senate has the opportunity to put some amendments on it before they send it back to us. And the governor still has the right to amend it before she signs it, if it gets out of the Senate.
If.
Yeah. The Senate's locking down. The Senate's doing what it always does at the very end.
The deliberative body.
Yes.
They're very deliberative.
Yeah.
Until it's sometimes they're not. All right. From the text line here, DEI texter says, I completely support closing the primaries. I think it will help more moderate candidates win the general.
I'm not sure how that would work, because only the hardcore party people would be putting the nominees in. So,
like, you would, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
In the general, you can go vote in the general, but the choices have been made by the time you get to the general.
Yes.
You're saying that when they can control, too, here's somebody that could be the candidate you might end up wanting to vote for in the general, but they don't make it through the primary. They don't even make it into the primary.
Exactly. So, that's what the Democrats thought back in the 80s. They said, you know, the Democratic primary is tantamount to election, so, you know, we'll just pick and choose in that. And, you know. Nowadays, for the most part, the Republican primaries is for the most part. But I'm also looking at, I've got several members. I mean, remember, I drew the districts.
We've
got some purple districts. I got some House members that could very easily lose if you get a backlash.
You election. Referenced them the other day.
Yes. There are four or five of them, and some of them are in leadership that could lose if we get a backlash election where the voters show up and they're mad and they say, well, we're just going to, you know, pox on all your House. So.
Fred says, so he means like Tommy Tuberville was chosen, right?
That has not been decided yet in the primary. Remember, the primary is still open.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't occurred yet.
This is unnamed texter said, closing the primary is completely different from taking away the right to vote for the state school board or public service commission. I support the former and oppose the latter.
My point was, if you change the way people can and cannot vote, They get angry. I mean, I'm trying to make an example of the way voters.
BSC's gone over like a lead balloon. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's.
I realize that, but 40 states have an appointed PSC. 10 states have an elected. Guess what? 10 states have the highest utility rates. the ones with elected public service commission. So,
but they also, there's so many other things that need to be changed with PSC and their ability to, you know, call the documents and.
I understand the voters' frustration. That's, you know, there is some reason why we want to change it. Because, you know, everybody on the Public Service Commission is appointed.
Yeah, at this point, even though it's elected position, they by happenstance say are all appointed right now. And so let me turn around and argue. They're all appointed on there. We still have the highest utility rates.
Exactly. So, it's not an easy fix. None of it ever is.
From the text line here, Heath says, well, Representative Pringle, go stand with Representative Stringer to have HB 484 put back on the pick list after spring break and protest an early adjourning so the bill gets a vote. Now, that's a big
Crick Lake issue. Yes, I will. And I'm still working on my bill to protect that land in perpetuity so they can't develop it. I run into some problems with an easement because there are already existing easements on that land that I was unaware of until I started looking into this. And you can't put an easement on top of another easement. So we're working with the lawyers to come up with a way to make sure that land's never developed.
Are those easements like a conservation easement or some?
The one on that now is a gopher tortoise easement.
Okay.
As
right.
Art Dice calls it, his turtle hotel.
Yeah.
But because of that, we couldn't put a carbon capture easement on it because unless you do 100% of it, the land, they won't take it. But also, what I'm working on is exempting out the House Ferry Road and the area where they are building the boat launch.
Okay.
Yeah, the road and 40 acres in that corner where they had the boat launch, mm-hmm. so they can build pavilions and parking spaces. And there are other two little parcels right there that the malls can develop and use for public use, but the rest of it has to remain in pristine condition.
So, because this idea that, you know, this gone around has been in my ear a bunch, that this is all a plan to get it to be able to develop, you know, develop it for neighborhoods or whatever, but houses and all that.
I've heard a golf course and a country club, but malls told me in no uncertain terms they have no intention of ever developing that land.
That's what I heard too, and then people were in my ear say that. I don't know which one's the.
And I said, good, because I'm going to fix it so you can't.
Are you going to help them with that?
Oh, I'm carrying the bill to fix it. Shane's bill takes malls the lake off of the critical infrastructure mm-hmm. so you can enter it. He's changing that. Mine locks the land. He changes the access to the water. I'm changing the land around it. They can't develop it. They have to keep it, you know, undeveloped.
What do you see? I mean, you have wisdom in this. Do you see us being able to have access, public access to Big Creek Lake?
Yeah, I'm going to carve 40 acres out so they can
build. We'll be able to go take our boat and go to Big Creek Lake?
I'm going to carve 40 acres out right there at the boat launch. So. Because
this is 484. So HB 484. If they're calling their
That's Shane's bill.
Okay, yours is
mine's is different. Yeah, and I hate to tell you this, but I don't remember bills by number. I remember by subject.
Okay, but if y'all call for the bill brought by Speaker Pro Tem Pringle,
I'm gonna help Shane get that bill back up.
But there's two here. There's yours and
the one I have in the hopper right now is not going to work because it was a conservation easement bill that I found out after I drafted it. So once you advertise it, you have to introduce it the way it was. And it's not going to work because of that overlay and conservation easements. So I've dropped back, and I'm trying to draft another bill.
Okay. Will that be happening this year?
I'm going to try and get it dropped this year, but it's not going to have time, I don't think, to get through the whole process.
Six days left or whatever.
Yeah,
left.
It's too complicated because I've got to check hundreds of parcel numbers to make sure they're accurate and correct. And it's like page after page of numbers.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Appreciate you coming in with us today, and get you back on soon here to continue the discussion. Maybe we'll be talking about parcel numbers and easements here in the future.
I thought you liked people listening.
Yeah. That's true. We'll spice it up with some other stuff. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. It's Chris Springer, our guest. We'll be right back.